Bibles tonight, and you'll stand with me for the reading of God's Word, found in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 7 tonight. And I do need God's touch and God's help tonight. Seemed like it's been a busy time here lately, getting busier all the time. You know, it seemed like you're getting busy in the work of the Lord more and more, and thank God for that. You know, when we stay busy for God, you won't find time to backslide. And you're working for God. He'll keep you busy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 22, it says, "And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he had commanded us." If you'll turn and look at verse 7 of chapter 7, it says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, or slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore," listen to this verse, he said, "know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keepeth his commandments to 1,000 generation, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them." You may be seated. I want to talk tonight about the faithfulness of God, and what the Bible has to say about being faithful. You know, we find that few people are faithful in this day that we're living in. We find a lot of people that when it comes to friendships, they're not true to that commitment of friendship. We find that in our government, that when it comes to agreements and different things that the politicians will say that they will do, we find that they go back upon their word many times. And we find that faithfulness and loyalty is no longer a part of our society. And in the church, we find that loyalty and being faithful and being true and steadfast today is not something that... You've seen how that God has worked, and how that God had delivered you after being under bondage for so long in Egypt. For 430 years they were under bondage. They were under the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, one that held power and authority, one that was mighty with his armies and with his forces, one that on their own they were unable to be free from. But God set them free. And it says, "And he brought us out." Look at verse 23. "He brought us out from thence." He brought us out of the bondage. He brought us out of the slave. And he brought us out that he might bring us in. Did you know that God saved us tonight from the hand of the devil and from the power of sin tonight? That one day we could enter into the glory of God and into heaven itself in the presence of the Lord. You see, we haven't finished this journey yet, but there's some things that we need to do. As God is faithful, you and I need to be faithful tonight. He said that he
brought us out, to bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And then the writer says, or Moses said, the Lord commanded us. God still has some commandments tonight for the people of God. He said he commanded us to do all of these statutes and to fear the Lord our God. You know, we need to hold God in reverence tonight, and we need to fear God tonight. We need to love him and respect him and honor him and do all that we can to serve him. He said he'd done these things, praise God, that we might do all of these statutes to fear the Lord. And then Moses said, for our good always. God wants us to serve him. Praise God, that it might be to our good. It pays to serve the Lord tonight. It pays to be a Christian and to stay on the Lord's side tonight. God will always be there to do us good. Praise God, he said, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. You know, we're here tonight by the mercy and by the grace of God himself tonight. You don't sit here by chance tonight, but because of God's mercy, we are allowed to be in the house of God tonight. He brought us from home tonight. He brought us through this week, and he's kept his hand upon us tonight. Praise God, that he might preserve us alive. And it says, and it shall be our righteousness. You know, we can have the righteousness of the Lord tonight, and we can serve God in pureness and in holiness tonight. He said it would be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments. We need to obey the Lord and be faithful unto God tonight. We need to be faithful unto the very end if we're going to make heaven our home. I want to read you some scriptures tonight that faithful men are hard to find in this time that we're living in. And even the writer said in Psalms, he said, help, Lord. He said, for the godly man seeks us. You know, we're living in a time when people don't choose to live godly anymore. And it's a choice tonight. This thing of saying men are born in a body, women are born in the wrong bodies, and men are born in the wrong bodies. It's a choice tonight, just as it was a choice for you to be here tonight. You chose to be here. That's why you're here tonight. And by God's grace, tonight we are in the house of the Lord. But the writer said, for the faithful man fail from among the children of men. You know, when it comes to Christianity and living holy tonight, not many people want to remain faithful unto God. Not too many are trustworthy. It's hard to find true friendships. It's hard to find those on the job anymore that people can trust. You know, it seems that there's so many that are breaking the trust tonight. But thank God for those that are willing to stay true to God. The writer says in Proverbs, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But it said a faithful man who can find. You know, it's hard to find those that are faithful tonight. But thank God for the few that remain faithful unto God and to the cause of the church tonight. Thank God for those that love him enough that they'll remain faithful unto the Lord. You know, many homes are broken up because one or the other of the husband or the wife is unfaithful and untrue to that commitment and to those marriage vows. And families are broken and they fall apart. You know, when it comes to serving God, it's the same way tonight. It's not God that's not unfaithful, but many times we find that we falter. We find that it's us that looks at the commandments of God and we say, no, we're going to refuse to keep those commands and a commitment unto God that says, I love you above all other things and I'll remain true and faithful unto you. But he said he's brought us out that he might bring us in. But then the writer goes on and said, when the Lord our God, or thy God, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it. Listen what he said. He said, and has cast out many nations before thee. He begins to name some of those nations. And he said, there's seven nations. He said, they're greater and mightier than thou. You know, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we become a Christian, he saves us and he takes away the sin out of our life. That sin is stronger than you and I could ever contend with on our own. There's not a man or woman on the face of this earth that can break the bond of sin upon their own. It's like the children of Israel when all those years down in Egypt were under slavery and under bondage and longing to be free from that bondage. There was not one that could break the power that they had upon them. But there's a God that sat in heaven and looked down upon them. He saw all that was happening in the land whither thou goest to possess it. You know, we've not made heaven yet. We're still on that journey. And you know, the Bible said only those that will endure to the end, he said, the same shall be saved. You know, we've got to remain faithful unto the end of this journey. But he says to them, he said, when you've been brought out and these things have been cast out, these nations that were greater and mightier than what you are, thank God that he breaks the bond of sin tonight. There is nothing too hard for God tonight. Oh, you know, the devil says to us, God can't set this person free. God can't set that person free. That God, the power of sin and Satan is too strong in their life. But I know that through the name of Jesus, there is deliverance. I know that through the name of Jesus, that God is faithful tonight. God will keep His word. God will keep His promise. God will honor the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And He can break every bondage of sin tonight. Listen what He says. He says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee. You know, when God breaks the bondage of the drugs and the alcohol and the things that bonds so many and holds their life captive tonight, he said, when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee. You know, we can see those sins, praise God, being destroyed in the lives of people tonight through the name of Jesus, just like those nations that surrounded Israel and those nations that they would march through, praise God, and God would deliver them before the children of Israel. God is a mighty God tonight. And he said, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. I might get off of the thought of God being faithful tonight. But you know, God said to the children of Israel, he said, when all of this happens, and I set you free, he said, you need to take those things and those enemies of your soul, and you need to destroy them. You know, you can't take and say, God, deliver me from smoking or drinking or drugs and leave it laying upon the shelf where you can reach out and get it. You need to destroy those things completely in your life. The sins that once held us captive, praise God, we need to stomp on those in the name of Jesus and to utterly destroy them from our life. I know the devil don't like this tonight. But you know, sometimes we're playing with sin. It begins to rise back up. Don't you ease? But thou make with him. Oh, that word covenant means type of agreement. You know, you shouldn't make a covenant with sin tonight, because sin will destroy you. Sin, if it's not destroyed in our life, will rise up and begin to take its advantage and have its power over us tonight. You see, it needs to be completely destroyed. I want to tell you tonight, what will destroy the sins in our life is still the blood of Jesus tonight. The blood will wash away every sin. Just in that land, don't want to let it go. He said, when you get in that land, you know, for them to make an agreement and do this, they'd have to look around and begin to look upon those in the land, and they'd have to listen to the persuasion that these enemies of Israel would bring, trying to get an advantage upon them. Did you know that Satan tonight is still a liar? Praise God, he'll convince you that right is wrong and wrong is right. But my God, there's a dividing line tonight that we can step over and be bound by sin again. Whew. Satan's a liar. And you know, when people would stand in, the Israelites would go into that land, some of those young Israelite boys would look over and they'd see the young maidens of those lands, and they'd begin to desire after them. Did you know Satan paints a pretty picture of sin tonight? He makes it look good, you know, all these sins and these things that the devil is bringing to our young people tonight. He's painting a picture to them to deceive them, to take their soul to hell. My God, and they're falling for these things tonight. My God, we need to stand up and say, devil, we've had enough of this. God is faithful. God will help us to fight these battles. You know, we need to rescue souls more than we need anything else in this life. We need to see souls being set free and the power of sin being broken in their lives. I want to see God breaking the power of sin in the lives of our children tonight. I'm tired of it, of seeing all that the devil's doing. You know, he's taking our young people and taking our families, and he's painting to them a pretty picture. And God said, when I deliver you, my Lord, he said, don't make any covenant with them. You know, the thing is that not only is he painting a picture to those that are unsaved, but he's painting a picture of something beautiful and saying, this is what it looks like and this is what sin can do, and you can have the pleasures of sin in your life. Whew. And we can. The Bible said sin has a pleasure, but only for a season. But you know, the devil will never tell you that the Bible said the wages of sin is death. The devil will never tell you sin burns faster than anything else. That kindling will fall up and begin to spark up and flare up until it begins to set other things on fire around it. God said, if you do these things, you'll kindle my anger against you. And he said, I'll destroy you suddenly. You know, we're living in a time when people say that God won't do these things, that God doesn't get angry at people, that God doesn't do these things and destroy people. They need to get in this book and see what this book has to say. Because God has done it in the past, and God said he would do it. My Lord, God's not only faithful to bless us, God's not only faithful to be with us as we go through this life, but God is faithful to punish the wicked as well. He said, there is a place where they would offer their sacrifices unto their idol gods. Or we can have an altar to God and offer to God, the true and the living God, the things that please the Lord tonight. He said, you're going to have to go to the altars of those in the land, those false gods and those false things. You know, in our life, if we're going to be faithful to God, we're going to have to destroy some altars. We're going to have to destroy some of those places and those things that we give our allegiance and our desires to. They have to be completely destroyed, torn down completely, that there be no place to worship and offer unto the false gods and the demon spirits. This is what many are doing. And they're kneeling down and bowing down to these false gods. He said, should break down their images. You know, an image would be one of those false gods that they would set up to worship. It might be, one of those little wooden idols that they would make, or some elaborate thing made out of gold or silver, whatever. They'd kneel down and they would offer their sacrifices, and they would go to these images, and they would worship these images. And what they were doing was actually kneeling down to demon spirits themselves. Privilege to come together to honor Him. He gives us the privilege to feel the Spirit and the power of God in our life. My Lord, He brings us out of those honky-tonks and those places where we used to go. He brings us out of the lifestyle that is destroying and sending a soul to hell. And He brings us to life itself. The Bible says, politics. I want to tell you something. Every law that these politicians pass affects you and me as well as the sinners in this world. We've got a right to speak up. We need to tear down the groves, cut them down, and burn their graven images. And then verse 6, God said, "For thou art an holy people." He says, "unto the Lord thy God." You know, we talked a little bit about holiness this morning. But we're to be a holy people tonight. We got to be different than what this world is. You know, when we get saved, God wants us to be different. And God wanted the children of Israel to be different. He wanted them to stand out among all of those nations that they were amongst, and all of those godless worship around them. He wanted them to stand up and be different. You know, God tells us in His Word to come out from among them and be ye separate. God wants the church to be different tonight. And He says, "Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God." He said, "For the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself." Aren't you glad that God would choose us? Jesus said, "You've not chosen me." But He said, "I've chosen you." God wants us to be different tonight. God wants us to be special. You know, I'm glad to be a Christian tonight. I thank God that I'm a Christian. I thank God that God offers a better standard than what this world has tonight. Praise God, this world doesn't have nothing to offer, does it? It breaks up families and destroys homes and destroys lives and destroys the health of people. You know, this drug culture and this drinking thing that they got going on, that you can drink a little bit and still go to heaven. My God, we better get in this Word and see what it says. It'll get a hold on you. Amen. It'll take our soul to hell. This thing that they're doing today, need to get rid of those things. These bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, they put this special unto the Lord above all people that are up on the earth. Now, I know He's talking about Israel here, but you know that Christian ought to be different tonight. And you know, we ought to come out from among this world. He said, "The Lord did not set His love, but the devil wants to do is to destroy you." You know, He'd like to get some habit in every life that's here tonight. He'd like to get something in our life and get a hold up on us and bind us and take us back into that bondage again. You know, the children of Israel made the mistake when God was leading them out, and they would get out at a certain point and they'd begin to see that there were no supplies. They forgot that it was God that had delivered them. It was God that had set them free. He didn't bring them out there to destroy them. He didn't bring you to where you are tonight to forget about you. Sometimes you say, "I'm fighting a battle, and it looks like God isn't with me." God is with you tonight. God is faithful whether we are or not. God is faithful to His people. He says, you know, the Lord set His love upon you. Verse 8, because the Lord loved you. You know, God loves you enough tonight that He doesn't want to see anyone here die and go to hell. Now, I'm fighting a battle with this message tonight. The devil doesn't want you to go to heaven. The devil doesn't want you to be free from the sin or the habit that may be binding some tonight. I don't know everybody's life tonight. I know my own life. But the devil doesn't want you to be free from anything that he's got you bound with tonight. And he is the biggest liar that ever was. He said the Lord loved you. You know, the Bible said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus is coming soon. Every one of us that are here tonight. You know, we didn't have church last Wednesday because Brother Bill happened to go suddenly to the hospital. Brother Dewey was the only one to come out. He came out to have church and wasn't nobody here. We forgot to call him. And you know, he's the only one that showed up. But you know, when he got here, he saw that the church was dark, didn't it? It looked different. Something happened. You know, it could have been the rapture took place. Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that have been awful? But you know, I told Sister Bear today as we either going down to visit Brother Bill or coming back. I said, you know, a lot can happen in a week. And my goodness, what happened in a week? You know, wasn't even a week. You know, just a few days. What had taken place? And all of a sudden, there's a great change that had taken place. Thank God that God didn't take Brother Bill out. God spared him. It was merciful. But you know what could happen in your life or my life? We might wake up tomorrow morning. And you know the snow's coming. If it comes, it comes. If it don't, it don't. We'll have church Wednesday night or one way or the other. You know, we might not have it. But if you know, we might not even be here for Wednesday night service. Think about that. The devil doesn't want you to know that tonight. Satan doesn't want you to know that you could die with just one beat of the heart tonight and be in eternity and be lost forever. You know, he brings us out to bring us in. You know, God, when he brings us out, he wants us to change, to be different than what we used to be. Nobody's perfect tonight. But you know, God can help us, and God is faithful to help us to improve in our life. And we need to have some improvements in our life. When we surrender ourselves at an altar of prayer, there needs to be a change, complete change in all of our life, all of our attitude, and everything about us. You know, we all appreciate what God has done. But he said, the Lord loved you, and you know, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Aren't you glad that God makes the promise that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? And that God can set free from all sin tonight. You know, the Bible talks about the faithfulness of God. He said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. You know, even as Christians, sometimes we need to get down and confess unto the Lord that we failed him. Sometimes there's things that happen in our life and we like to hold on to those and don't admit to anyone and think it'll go away. You know what'll happen? It'll begin to grow in your life and it'll get out of hand unless we confess those things. And you know, God loves you tonight. God wants better for each and every one of us tonight. God wants to deliver from the bondage of sin and the power of Satan. God can do that. You know, we as Christians ought to begin to get down on our knees and pray for our families that God would break the bondage of sin and the power of sin in the lives that's holding our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones in bondage tonight. And we ought to get on the battlefield and say, devil, I'll fight you as hard as I can. This thing's coming to a close. Jesus is coming soon. And whether we're ready or not, the rapture is going to take place. Whether we're prepared for the sound of the trumpet or not, Jesus is going to come any time. He could come at any time. And if we're not ready, we'll be left behind to go through the tribulation. If we haven't surrendered everything at an altar of prayer and confessed our sins unto God, we're not going to go to heaven. Say, that's pretty hard, preacher. It's the truth tonight. And we need to get all of our sins under the blood of Jesus. He says, you know, the Lord had brought you out with a mighty hand. You know, it wasn't just by coincidence that God saves us. But you know, when we get saved, it's by the mighty hand of God. You know, God reaches down through the Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, through the word that's preached, and God takes that and the Holy Ghost brings it and drives it right home to the need in our life. And the Holy Ghost begins to bring something that we don't see much of in many churches anymore. That's the old time conviction, the guilt for sin in our life. We need to get back to that, don't we? You know, I'd rather see people sitting in church being miserable in their sin than sitting there and being comfortable and going out the door and dying and going to hell. I'd rather see them make a way to an altar. How many times can you remember being in churches where the conviction would come down? You know, I can remember that there were people that would sit in the back of this church. Some of you might have seen them. But I would watch them as we were teaching. And I'd watch them kneel over the back of the pew. And I'd see the conviction of the Holy Ghost as God was trying to show His faithfulness to them and bring them to an altar of prayer. I'd watch them reach over and squeeze the back of that pew and hold on to that sin and go out the doors unsaved. You know, I'd rather see them get to the point. Leave and get on that before it pulled out. I don't know when the church is going to pull out of this world, but I know the trumpet's going to sound. And ready or not, hallelujah, the trumpet will sound and Jesus is coming. Are we ready? Are we ready tonight to go? You see, God is faithful that everyone that will confess their sins and repent of their sins, that God will forgive those sins. You know, you think of all of those people that He redeemed out of the land of Egypt. You know, not just one here, one there, one there, one there. But you know, all of those hundreds of thousands of people that He brought out of Egypt, God had power to redeem every one of them. And He redeemed them and brought them out. But you know, the way He brought them out was after He began to judge the Egyptians for what they were doing. He began to bring the plagues upon Egypt until the final plague came, and He said, I'm going to send the death angel down through Egypt, and I'm going to smite all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the throne of Pharaoh to those that were in the prison house. All the firstborn would die. But He said to the children of Israel, and He told Moses, He said, I want you to get a lamb without blemish, without spot. He said, get a male of the first year. And I believe He said, keep it up for 14 days. And then you're to take that lamb and to slay that lamb. And you're to take of the blood of that lamb to wash away sin. It still takes the blood of Jesus to divert the judgment of God and to change the life of an individual. We haven't reached a point when we've got so modern that we deal with them with psychology. Many preachers like to use psychology, but it still takes an old-time altar for people to get saved. It still takes getting on our knees and getting all alone with God, even at an altar full of people, and saying, Jesus, would you forgive me of all of my sins? I want to be ready to go to heaven. You know, that's what it takes tonight. Every man, every woman, everyone that's accountable of their sins needs to confess their sins unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will be faithful to reach down and forgive every sin. Let me say that there came that night down in Egypt that the death angel would come down through the land of Egypt. And that night there went a cry out through all of Egypt. You know, because the death angel came, God kept His word. God kept His promise. God was faithful. Jesus said, I'm coming again. Jesus will keep His word, and He'll come again. And you know, that death angel came down through, and that death angel would go over to where the Israelites were. And he saw the blood, and he passed over that house. Not one cry of death, not one cry of judgment came from the houses of those that had the blood upon them. You know, but for all of those that said, well, it's not important. Not important for me to get ready. Not important for me to do what this man Moses said and take the blood and take a lamb. That seems like a foolish thing. But the Bible, when that death angel came, all of the cry throughout Egypt. You know, when Jesus comes, there's going to be a lot of church houses that are going to be full. I believe that. You know, I believe there'll be more praying around the altars for those that's been lukewarm and missed the rapture. For those that's went back on God and backslid upon the Lord, and those that are not ready. And Noah, I believe they're going to know what happened because they've heard it and they're familiar with it. But to be left behind and to walk over to a graveyard where that they go up and they look down and they see that grave of that mom or dad, that saint of God that's done gone on, and they find that that grave is broken open and that body's not there. Jesus has come. What a scream and what a cry will go up on the planet, this planet Earth. It's going to be an awful time when people know that they've missed it. Kind of like going to that bus, planning that trip. You know, getting ready, maybe just at the last minute fooling around. And maybe just saying, not really thinking the bus will pull out with you. But many of these buses will pull out. You know, they won't wait for you. These airplanes and these trains are on a schedule. And when it's time to go, they go. When Jesus comes, there'll be no waiting. There'll be no time to get ready. We need to get ready now. And we need to be ready to go when Jesus comes. Be an awful thing to be left behind. Be an awful thing to go through the tribulation and have to contend with the Antichrist. You know, things are already getting so bad that we can see it's about soon to happen. We need to be ready. Sister Kelly, would you come? Now, this isn't what I come to preach tonight. But you know, we need to be ready. For when Jesus comes, we could be left behind. We could, you know, even as Christians. Brother Gary, if we fail God in our commitment and in our relationship with God, we think, well, everything's all right. This is why we need to make a close examination of our life all the time, to see how we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'd be awful for a Christian that went back on God to be left behind, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be awful? You know, some of these folks are going to get up. Would you stand? Going to get up one day. I don't know when Jesus is coming. But somewhere around this world, you know, the time's going to be different when Jesus comes around this planet. Maybe for some young people, they'd get up, just think it's another day. And mom and dad might have been good Christians. Might have been living for the Lord. And they go and wonder why the house is so quiet. Where are they at? Where is mom and dad? And they look and they can't find them. Nowhere in the house. Nowhere to be found. And they realize that Jesus has come. Or maybe it'd be a young person that's living for the Lord. And maybe it's mom and dad